As always, we've looked back in time quite a bit in this edition, and in some respects our next item is also looking back. However, this time modern technology is being used to transform our understanding of a fascinating part of Suffolk's wartime heritage. And if you have a fear of heights, as I have, be warned.
Step by step, hand over hand, you may be starting your climb confidently and swiftly. But this ladder reaches 360 foot to the top of this vast steel transmitter tower, and as the extent of your ascent becomes clear, you begin to falter. Your heart beats a little faster, and you have to think about every movement. The repairs and adjustments are a regular occurrence, and now it's your turn to carry out this essential work. The wind whistles. The waves are crashing against the shore below, and a Spitfire zooms by. The country is soon to declare war with Germany, so much depends on you succeeding in your mission. This is the first integrated air defence system known as Chain Home, a line of radar bases that protects the country and which is to prove invaluable in the Battle of Britain. It also houses the first radar training school, and it was the first station to give frontline roles to women. When you press the red button in your hand and you're back on the ground, handing back your headset to the volunteer. This virtual reality experience is the latest initiative by the Bawdsey Radar Trust, a unique museum and visitor attraction which is seeking to preserve and renew the wartime achievements and discoveries in this remote corner of Suffolk for future generations. The grand Victorian manor house on the coast, now a holiday activity centre for young people, was requisitioned by the government in 1937 and turned into the world's first operational radar station. When the RAF moved in, it was just 18 months after the first experiment, conducted by Robert Watson Watt and Arnold Wilkins, which established that by using transmitted radio waves, it was possible to detect an approaching aircraft. Robert Watson Watt and his team didn't invent radar, but they saw its potential and how to use it in the war effort, says Graham Randall, chairman of the Bawdsey Radar Trust. Bawdsey is where this was realised. There's little to show for the pioneering work today. RAF Bawdsey was a remote outpost between the river and the sea at the end of the Deben Peninsula and was closed in 1991 after almost 60 years. It had been bombed at least 12 times and fell into disrepair. Its seemingly inconsequential concrete bunker is hidden from view and the four masts have been demolished. But for the past 20 years, a small, dedicated team of volunteers and enthusiasts have kept with the spirit of innovation that encapsulates all that Bawdsey stands for. In recent years, with the support of the National Lottery Heritage Fund, Historic England and other partners, they've invested in attractive displays, interactive exhibits and oral histories to bring the site back to life and to tell its extraordinary story. And recently they've looked to the latest technology to facilitate a different and unprecedented visitor experience. We cannot say we're doing anything on the same level, of course, but we hope the innovative solutions we've found show Bawdsey Radar Trust is not a normal museum. We're trying to do different things. Just before the start of the pandemic, the Trust had engaged a team of apprentices at BT's research centre in Adastral Park near Ipswich to investigate the possibility of using virtual reality technology to allow visitors to immerse themselves in the experience of working in the transmitter block. We all know 360 foot is a long way up, but you don't fully appreciate how high that is until you're up there, says Graham Murchie, a trustee at Bawdsey. We wanted to convey the scale so that visitors could understand what was involved in climbing the towers for repairs and maintenance without a safety harness. but we needed to do that safely and without having to build a tower for them to climb. After 2 years of research, the team at BT created an application running on a headset with handheld controls to enable the user to climb a ladder, walk around at different levels of the tower, and gain views from all perspectives. The result, launched this summer, has won plaudits from the technology world as well as the delight of visitors. And it is hoped this will have widespread implications. For us, as a team at BT, we are proud to have developed something which is valuable to our local museum, which will attract visitors and improve their experience, says Adam Morseman, team leader for the BT apprentices. But we hope too that children trying on a VR headset in its setting may be inspired to find out more about computer science and pursue it as a career. For every visitor to Bordsey, there is a reminder of all that was achieved there. The advances not only helped to secure victory in the war, but are being felt in the things we take for granted in daily life. Microwave ovens, intelligent traffic lights, weather forecasts. There are so many things we rely on today which have benefited from this first discovery of radar, says Graham Randall. Despite the significance of what was achieved at Bordsey, relatively little is known about the day-to-day lives of the personnel. The work of the radar operator in wartime Britain was as secret as that of the codebreakers at Bletchley Park. Each operator had a revolver and instructions to shoot their screens should the station be breached. Everything had to be recorded, says Peggy Haynes, who worked at Bordsey during the Second World War and whose experience has been captured in an audio recording. I was quite hoarse by the time I'd finished because you had to relay the plots to the filter room. I can't say that we were ever afraid. If you were plotting, you were too busy, and afterwards you were too tired, you just went to sleep. They were undertaking very tedious, detailed, intense and important work for 8 hours at a time, and it must have been very tough, says B. Springwood, recalling that her mother, Peggy Butler, said of her time there. Documents, machinery, oral histories, photographies, displays and interactive exhibitions are all available and can also be accessed remotely. As a Bordsey trustee, retired BT manager Graham Murchie had seen how Zoom had been so easily adopted for meetings in lockdown and thought it could be applied to the museum setting. A computer tablet mounted on a pole and attached to Segway-type self-balancing wheels, forms a robot. Operated by remote control, it purrs eerily along the corridors of the Bordsey transmitter block. The virtual visitor views the museum through the robot's screen as it is positioned in front of displays and exhibits, or as the presenter delivers a talk to the camera. And being interactive, attendees can ask questions or return to any element of the tour. Whether you're in Bristol or Birmingham, or just down the road, with the robot we can still provide you with a personal tour of the site, says Graham. The pioneering and inventive spirit is alive and well at Bordsey, a fitting tribute to the efforts of its wartime personnel. Bordsey Radar Trust at Bordsey, Suffolk, IP12-3BA, is open on Thursdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. until October. Admission is £8 for adults and £2 for children. For more information, see the website www.bordseyradar.org.uk.
Thank you, Tony. When I hear the words virtual reality, I normally switch off. But that experience does sound fascinating.